Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Bible Study Wednesday on December the 5th in the year of our Lord 2018. What's Bible Study Wednesday? It's an opportunity for congregations to perhaps get a number of people together at 9:30 on Wednesday mornings, and they listen to a half hour of what I'm going to be speaking of, and then the last half hour, they respond to it among themselves. It's a Bible study, and we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 3. I consider Galatians chapter 3 to be one of the best passages in the entire Bible that deals with Reformation theology. In the previous program, the Coffee Hour, they were talking about how lay people can also be witnesses and speaking the Word of God to others. Galatians 3 is a great chapter which is simply understood. You just read it. And you can share it with someone else, maybe a relative, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, and the Holy Spirit can work through that. Last week, we got chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Let me just summarize. Paul is asking, they did not get converted because of any works of the law that they had done. They got converted because they heard with faith. And therefore, just as Abraham believed God when God told him about the promise of a child, Isaac, to aged Sarah, it was accounted to Abraham as righteousness, that faith he had in the promise. And therefore, are you a son of Abraham? We're not interested in whether or not in the flesh you can trace yourselves back to Abraham, but you are a son of Abraham if you believe the promises of the gospel. And that includes even the Gentiles who by faith came and were blessed by Abraham's child, Isaac, leading, of course, to the Messiah. And verse 9 said, so then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Okay, so let's start with verse 10, Galatians 3. I mean, it can't be, this is not a hard verse. It can't be easily understood more than this. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Now, what does that mean? Do you rely on your works in obedience to the law in order to get you to heaven? You see, the reason that is so obvious to do is because that's how the secular world works. You go to the next grade because a reliance on your work of study gets you to pass tests. You might get a promotion because your reliance on how well you're doing at work encourages the boss to give you a promotion. So people just think, well, that's how I get to heaven. But all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. What curse? We continue in the verse. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now, there's one word there that a lot of people miss. It's the most important word. It's the word all. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of law and do them. Therefore, I'm cursed. Yes, because Jesus says, in the day that you sin, death will be the result. I deserve nothing but temporal and eternal condemnation. Because it is impossible for any human being, since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, to be able to abide by all things written in the law. Just read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, oh, you don't think you've murdered anybody? Have you ever had a bad thought towards somebody? Did you ever say a bad word? That also deserves eternal condemnation. God doesn't make distinctions between sins of thought, word, or deed. They all get the same punishment, hell. Therefore, we're all cursed because we do not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Therefore, this is the conclusion, verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For, okay, we're not going to have a verse. For, it says very clearly, the righteous shall live by faith. That's really a critical understanding that from God's point of view, no one who's in the depths of death will ever live by obedience to the law. But instead, you shall live because of faith. A faith, by the way, that the Holy Spirit has given you. So in case you still haven't got it, verse 12 explains, but the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Now, what's Paul saying here? The law is something you do. The gospel is something you believe. You are not saved by doing anything. But that's what the law says. Do this and you will live. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, after Jesus goes through a number of the commandments showing how we fail, if not by deed, by thought, by word, he says, then, if you're able to obey all these commandments properly, you will be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. By the way, the Mormons, that's one of their favorite verses because they think they're saved by their deeds. But nobody can be as perfect as the Father. As soon as you sin once, you've broken the right to go to heaven. For the righteous shall live by faith, and that is not obedience to the law, because to be saved by the law is the one who does them shall live by them. So, how are we going to be saved? We're enslaved to the devil. That's why the next verse 13 is so important. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, how do you do that? First of all, the word redeem in the original language means to buy somebody out of slavery. So what did he do? Did he pay a lot of money to the devil? Did he promise the devil, well, I'll give you a lot of land and you can have the world or the universe? No. It's explained how he redeemed us from the curse of the law because he became a curse for us. Well, when did that occur? When people would look at Jesus while he was here on earth, who would ever say, well, that's obviously a cursed person? The curse comes about when Paul here in the letter to the Galatians quotes the Old Testament, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Jesus was hung. It's called the crucifixion. And that happened because he had become sin for us at the baptism of John the Baptizer, when he took that baptism of repentance. Remember, John says, hey, you do not need to have this baptism of repentance. I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus says, no, in order to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus became cursed, and he hung on a tree. And verse 14 explains the importance of that. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Well, how did that occur? It's not because the Gentiles are better at doing works of the law. In fact, there's not even a word about the law in verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through obedience? No, through faith. We cannot underscore this sufficiently. It was what the Reformation discovered. It was taught by the early church, certainly is taught by the scriptures, that we're saved by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ, not by some gracious power we are given so that we are saved through our obedience in following the example of Jesus Christ. There's actually some people who believe that. How sad. You can't get that at all out of Galatians chapter 3. So going on, a lot of times what Jesus often does is he wants to give a human example, and that's called a parable. Well, Paul does the same. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, so that'd be a covenant between two people, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Try that. You buy a house, and it's $1,000 a month for the mortgage. And after the third month, you phone the bank and say, we're only going to give you $800 because it's not as great a house as we thought it was. It ain't going to work. No, nobody can change the covenant once it's ratified. So how does he deal this with God? That's verse 16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. Now that's very important in the English to see that it's singular. In fact, Paul explains that even more. It does not say, and to offsprings, plural, referring to many, but referring to one. Well, who's this one offspring? Was that Isaac? No. To your offspring, who is Christ? Jesus is the offspring coming from the flesh of Abraham through Isaac, through many people, until Jesus comes. There are some beautiful charts that denote the 12 sons and the various tribes. And then you take a look at that one tribe of Judah, and you start at the top with Adam and Eve and go all the way down to Jesus, leading to Jesus. And it is through that line that the promises were made. And to your offspring, who is Christ? This is what I mean. So now Paul's going to explain it even further. The law, which came 430 years afterward, and that would be after, of course, the promises to the people of God, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. What law came? Well, the law on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. But this did not, as he says earlier, this did not change or ratify differently the promises that God had made prior to giving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. The promise he made to Abraham, the promise he made to Adam and Eve, these are not void because of the coming of the law. And he explains it further, verse 18. If the inheritance comes by the law, that would be by your obedience, it no longer comes by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. One of the distinctions between law and gospel is the law is always conditional. Do this and you will live. The gospel is unconditional. It's a promise from God. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. There's nothing that you can do to become a believer. That's a gift from God. And baptism is not your work, it's the work of God. So it's not by doing anything. So if we're saved by the gospel, not the law, then the next question is kind of obvious. Verse 19, why then the law? Why did God even give us the law? Well, it was added because of transgressions. See, we were sinners, and we didn't think we needed to be saved, because sin is just something that we naturally do. But the law was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now, an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Okay, the point that's being made here, yeah, Moses went up on Mount Sinai, brought down the law. But why? I always like to think of the law as a physician diagnosing your problem. The gospel is what takes care of your problem. The treatment. And the treatment, of course, is the death of Jesus Christ. So verse 21, is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Is therefore the law and the gospel, are they contradictions one to another? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. So rather than the Ten Commandments, God's only law is he who gets on his knees and prays to me is saved. But that's not the only law. That would have been a law that could have given life, but God did not give that law only. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. It is a law that imprisons us under sin. The more we think we're good enough to get to heaven, the law comes and destroys that notion. That's the purpose of proper law, to make you fear God, knowing that you do not deserve salvation. So therefore, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. Take a look at every religion in the world outside of Christianity. They're all religions of the law. And these people don't realize that they're captivated by the devil himself. So, 24, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Now we understand the purpose of the ceremonial laws. As Hebrews says, no ceremonial law ever forgave sins. But when people realize, oh, I got to follow the ceremonial laws every time I sin, and depending on the level of sin, it could be a grain offering, it could be an animal or something else, you were really in captivity. And the law kind of was a guardian to remind you what? You need to trust God's word that a Messiah is coming who will save you, not by your works, but through faith. A lot of people would talk about the law like a bus driver driving you to school. The bus driver doesn't really teach you anything, but it gets you to the place where you need to go in order to learn something. And the more that you are impressed by the law, the more you come to realize, boy, I cannot save myself. But in Christ Jesus, through faith in him, you are all sons of God. Now, how does that occur? 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Do you hear that? A lot of people think baptism is a human work that Christians do just to show others that they're Christian. No. Baptism gives specific gifts. They're found in Acts chapter 2 when Peter says you'll receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's being baptized into Christ Jesus, and you're putting on Christ. You have his robe of righteousness, which God sees you are dressed in. Therefore, do Jews have an advantage? No. There is neither, this is verse 28, neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Does that mean there isn't Jews and Greeks, or slaves and free, or males and females? No. Paul is saying that in particularly Judaism, there was a distinction. Greeks were not allowed into the temple proper, nor were slaves, and females had to stay outside the main part of the temple with children and the sick and the infirmed, etc. But now that Christ has died on the cross and risen from the dead, all who trust the promises of the gospel that he has forgiven your sins, now there's no difference. Whether you're Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, you're still those things, but you all have access to Christ Jesus. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. There's no distinction among these people. And guess what? Verse 29. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. Now, how did that occur? That occurred because you believe in the promises of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's how the chapter ends. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise, not according to the law, not according to your obedience. Now, a lot of people say, well, does that mean I can do anything I want as a Christian? I don't have to obey the law? And I said, okay, now let's think about that. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then what would you want to do as a Christian? And who would ever say, I would like to burn down a house, or I like to steal from a bank? No, a true Christian loves Jesus. And so when they do fall into sin, they turn right around, repent of it, and are assured of the forgiveness of sins. Galatians chapter 3, a wonderful chapter that is really quite self-explanatory, so that even a layperson can say, well, here's what I believe, and why I believe in Jesus Christ is because I'm not saved by obedience to the law, I'm saved by what Jesus did. And let's look at Galatians 3 together to see that. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're back with Wes Reimnitz, who's returned from his daughter's wedding. And we're looking forward to taking a look at more statements by Martin Luther that were used to help students get a doctorate. We've been talking about the faith. Now we're going to be talking about the law tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.